Morning, Boker Tov. We are holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amabez. We're by the Mishnah. Today, of course, is the last daf in this beautiful Masechta, the long Masechta of Shabbos. Let's start the Mishnah. Mechatchnas Adulim Lefnei Behema. One can cut the Duluyim, it's like gourd or cucumbers, typically they touch as gourd, in front of an animal on Shabbos. The chiddush over there is even if these gourds were really prepared for human consumption, and now he's deciding to use it for behemah, it's not considered like a tirchi yaseir, cutting it in front of an animal, that which was human consumption, which fits, of course, with the prime Mishnah dealing with tirchi yaseir, of feeding animals on Shabbos. And further, vesa nevela fein klavim, one is also allowed to cut the nevela, a dog, a carcass, for a dog. You're allowed to cut a dead animal, a carcass for a dog. The pasuk says, of course, lakelav tashlichon, you're supposed to throw nevelos to the dog. So you're allowed to cut it up on Shabbos for the dogs. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, it depends. Im lahayse nevela merav Shabbos asura. If it was not a nevela for merav Shabbos, then it would be asur. V'shein merav muchen. It depends. When did this animal become a nevela? If it became a nevela on Shabbos, that means before Shabbos started, it was a regular full-fledged animal, destined for shechita, not destined to be fed to an animal, and therefore it'd be called Zeinam and Mukhan, it's Mukta. And therefore you wouldn't be able to feed it to the animal, you wouldn't be able to cut it up and feed it to the dog on Shabbos. Only if it already was a dead carcass before Shabbos is it considered Mukhan and you're able to feed it to the dog on Shabbos. So clearly, what's going on over here is, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is a Machlaikis, the class Machlaikis, Rabbi Yehuda is the Shtasai at this issue of Mukta, and the Tanakama is Rabbi Shimon, who holds Lesley Mukta. Again, we've spoken many times, not Rabbi Shimon does hold the Mukta Pachal, we'll even see it again in our Gemara. This case is that Rabbi Shimon agrees to Mukta, but as a general rule, he's much more, his scope of Mukta is much more restrictive, much less. Cases of Mukta Kodem Shimon, including this case at Avela, would not be called Mukta just because it wasn't ready when Shabbos started. It doesn't make a Mukta full of Shabbos, and therefore one would be able to feed this carcass, this dead animal to the dog. Okay, Itmar.
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue about
the Luin,
just the
differences,
really.
Says the Gemara, Amar Ula Alacha Rabbi Yehuda. Ula says Alacha Yehuda. And we have in parentheses, but it will come up soon anyway. Shmuel Amalcha Shimon. We've had this throughout the Masechta that Shmuel always goes like Shimon in the Alachas Mukta. But we'll see more the psak of the different Amram. So here we have Ula saying Alachas like Yehuda. Vav Rav says Alachas Yehuda. Rav also says Alachas Yehuda. That what that he's makbid on Mukta the Krazi Zuzi. We see this from his psak by the mats of the ship that he used to cover the ship's cargo. That Rav also Shmuel Shavri. Rav asked those mats for any of the usage. And Shmuel's matred again. Rav held that anything which is katzay, which is Mukta. He yelled like Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra that we give it in a mukta throughout Shabbos. Faf Levi so far Rabbi Yehuda, so far Ula, Rav, and Levi all signing with Rabbi Yehuda, passing Rabbi Yehuda. What's the right of Levi? Ki had Levi kevin ma'isi treifas lechamei b'yam tava. Levi, whenever they would bring him a treif or a suffix treif, a shayla to paskin on yam tava, this treifa levachaz le'ela kiyosav akil kalisa. He would only inspect it when he was sitting on top of a garbage dump. Why? Damar, he said, "Im lims kasher." If we say if the psak is the animal is not kosher, afilu leklavim mechazi. It's not fit even for klavim. He wanted to be able to leave in a place where you can leave the muksa, namely a garbage, because if it is taka muksa, you can't even use it to feed to the dog. So he purposely checked it over the garbage. If it's kosher, great, take it to go, no problem. If it's not kosher, you have to drop it, leave it in its place because it is muksa. Now we did have a discussion earlier in the Masechta. It's actually brought down Lach Lamais and Shulchan Aruch, that when muktzah is already in one's hand, we had discussed how much, how far one could transport it. Once one is already moving muktzah, if it's already in one's hand, it's already lifting, it's already carrying it, and you can continue to move it. So while there was Levi Makbet to check the animal over the ashpa, over the garbage, Lachar, once the muktzah is already in your hand, you can continue to move it. So why was this concern that, it should be dafka in a place where you could drop it and leave it right where it is? So, the Mefarshim discuss perhaps the heter of moving muktzah once ready in our hand is not across all muktzahs. Dafka muktzah, let's say by klisha malach l'iser. That was the case that was brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Klisha malach l'iser, which is muktzah once ready in his hand, he can continue to move it. But let's say something which is muktzah machmas gufe machmas asme, it's be'etzah muktzah. This nevela has no use in Shabbos. It's be'etzah muktzah. That's something that you can't move even if ready is in one's hand. That is one answer given. Another answer given is that Levi argues on this whole concept. Levi Yosef, just because Mukhtar is already in my hand, does not allow me to continue moving it. And therefore, we argue on the whole concept, therefore, he's bothered. Or, to me, maybe I'm missing something. I think the most simple answer is, who said the animal, they were holding it when he inspected the animal, who said they were holding it up off the ground in their hands, and they continued to move it? The animal it's a dead animal, but maybe it was on the ground and they were inspecting it. Maybe you're touching it, just inspect it. But you're not much holding it, you're not lifting it. So there's no option of continuing to move it. Continue to move was an option because it already was out of his hands. Perhaps that was an answer. Again, I didn't see the first say it, but to me, it'd be an obvious svar. Okay, says the Mar Vayter. So Levi also was makpin. And Amar, he said Dilma lem skashmei bom kosher filo kam lechazi. As I'm for the dogs, therefore he made sure to check it over the garbage.
Along that line, you know, the hema is never in your hand. Even if you have five people holding it in their hands,
right?
It's Av Shemosa. It's a cloud that in that sugya of, well, it's in your hand already. Keep walking.
So basically,
you're on the ground.
Right. You agree with my answer with the third. It's surprising to me that they see these other two answers. I don't know why this answer is not pasha, but okay. Maybe someone does say that. Shmuel Amar Lachar B'Shemin. Shmuel says, now here we go. We've pointed this out throughout the Masechta. Here our Gemara brings. We already actually referenced it twice. We had it in parentheses, and we had that Shmuel Argan and Rav legabidi mats on the ship. Shmuel says halachas like Rav Shimon. He's not worried about muktzav. Zibro says halachas like Rav Shimon. Zibro says halachas like Rav Shimon. The time we learned in the Mishnah behema shemes behema died in yamtiv. Blazes then became he shouldn't move from his place. The tikkum is ibi behemas kachim. The reason why he can't move from his place, of course, behemas kachim. Behemas kachim has no usage. Dafka behemas kachim, which had no usage, you couldn't check on yamtiv to begin with. Therefore, halacha is. It is considered muksa, and more than that, when it's a carcass, the mamish has zero usage, because what are you going to do with it? However, if a chulin shabbatami, even if it was on yantiv, a chulin animal would be fine, you can move it to feed it to the dogs, meaning, he's going like Shmuel, that we do not have an issue of muksa. So far we have Shmuel, we have Z'iri, and now we also have Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan, Amal Chab Shimon, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, by the way, I mean, this is a big mark, because of the beginning of Beitza, we paskin Likul like Rabbi Shimon by Shabbos, and we paskin Lechumr like Rabbi Yehuda by Beitza, right? Yom Tov needs more of a chizik. We pass them the chumra like Rabbi Yehuda about muktzah, whereas by Shabbos we pass them the kula like Rabbi Shimon that we're not worried about muktzah, except for those specific scenarios that even Rabbi Shimon agrees is muktzah. If after Rabbi Yehuda also says halachos like Rabbi Shimon, lakula, umi and Rabbi Yehuda achi, in fact, the Marjorie Rabbi Yehuda say this is a big yisai we have throughout Shas. Rabbi Yehuda's klal is, from Rabbi Yehuda, halacha sa mishnah. The halacha always follows the stam mishnah. And the stam mishnah seems to go like Rabbi Yehuda. Utran, we learn, top of kuf nun zayin ralf, aim back nates menakaris, you cannot split wood from beams. For firewood on Yom Tov. Now, you're allowed to use firewood on Yom Tov. So what's the problem with splitting wood, trimming wood from beams for firewood on Yom Tov? Because these beams were designated for construction. They're designated for building a bias. Once they're designated for construction, they're considered muktzah. That goes, of course, like Rabbi Yehuda. That goes like Rabbi Yehuda. V'lem min ha-keresh nishpa b'Yom Tov, nor from a beam that broke on Yom Tov. Clearly, you have a stam mishnah going like Rabbi Yehuda. How could Rabbi Yehuda say psak is like Rabbi Shimon? So I really just gave a little bit of an answer that mission talking about Yom Tov and by Yom Tov we talk a pasuk in Yehuda we go a little chumra. Whereas with Shabbos we go the kula k'mishim. But Agamar doesn't want to get into that conversation yet. Agamar is bad that we have a stam mission like Yehuda. How's Rabbi Yechon pasuk k'mishim? Says the more Rabbi Yechon who Rabbi Yechon Yehuda masli. Rabbi Yechon learned that mission over there in Beitza. That mission is talking about. It has an author. Who's the author? Rabbi Yehuda. So we thought it was a Stam Mishnah, not a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah means it was anonymous. There's anonymous. There is an author named Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Tash, ask the Mar, another Kasha. Tasha Ma, Maskim Marim is Tevin. You let us start. You let us begin using a stack of straw for fuel, for firewood on Yom Tov. Avaloi be'etz v'shem muktzah. But you cannot, because that was even though it's a new stack that wasn't used yet, it might say these stacks were it was normal to set them aside for firewood. Especially of fuel for fire, especially over here, we're talking about a stack that maybe had already. What will be the other usage of the stack of straw? It would be for animal fodder. So if it's animal fodder, then maybe we considered muksa legabe using it for the fuel. The answer is we're talking about a case where let's say the straw was starting to. It was already getting spoiled. So already was being spoiled from Achilas Behema, so it was very normal to use a fuel. Therefore, not an issue to start using that for fuel on Yom Tov. However, what you can't do is, and this is going to be right to again review this, Tam Mishnah, Avaloyim Be'etz V'Shem Muktzah. You can't use the Eitz V'Shem Muktzah. We always say Muktzah is like the shed. Well, basically, Muktzah, it's this pile of wood in the backyard that was that was set aside that wasn't muchad for usage on Yantiv, you're not allowed to use that wood for the fire, but why not? That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's worried about muktzah. According to Rabbi Shimon Zahar, muktzah should be mutter. L'cher, we see it's a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we have a shaila in Rabbi Yechon pasuking like Rabbi Shimon. Answers the Gemara, hasam in this big side, hasam ba'arasi v'ashuchi. Over there, we're talking about like a more of expensive wood, which they touch maybe like a cedar wood, a shuchi wood. Right, the cedar, ours is a cedar, ashuki is also some type of a more expensive wood, and it's also like a cedar type of species, and because it's expensive wood, the muktzah machmas svarin kis. Why? Because I feel of shim maida. But muktzah svarin kis, something which is of value, even shim maida. We pointed out in the past, it's got to speak out again, that when we talk about muktzah machmas svarin kis, we don't mean that it has to be extremely valuable. Muktzah machmas svarin kis is, of course, something which is valuable, is muktzah machmas svarin kis, or anything which is designated for its specific usage, and you wouldn't use it for something else, even if it's not so valuable dollar-wise, but it's like a kli that's used specifically for the usage of that kli and nothing else. No one else would, whether it's machlis or het, it's not the point. The point is that it's you don't want to use it for anything else because it may damage the kli and then it won't be able to be used for its primary usage. That also could get assessed some muktzah machzor and kis, even if it's not so valuable. Over here, it could be the simple touches. We're talking about something which is pretty valuable. The cedar wood is more expensive, more valuable, and even Reb Shimon agrees to this muktzah, and therefore it's not a kasha, stam mishnah k'Reb Yehuda. This is a stam mishnah that even Reb Shimon would agree to because it's chesaron kis. Tashima, another question on Reb Yechon. Again, Reb Yechon is pasuk of Shimon that we don't say we're not concerned about muktzah. We have a more lenient approach to muktzah. Question is, we seem to have Reb Yechon pasuk stam mishnah, and we seem to have another stam mishnah like Reb Yehuda. Tashima, ein mashkin b'sheitan es mitvarius. You can't water this last gemara, and we had this earlier in this mesechta, and it's right at the end. Last gemara mesechta's beitzah. Ein mashkin b'sheitan es mitvarius. One cannot water and shech the animals that are midbarius because they weren't considered prepared for muchan for consumption before Yom Tov. But the water, you can water and shech the animals that are the bises that are in the house because those were considered prepared before Yom Tov to be shech on Yom Tov. Again, it's time to do this word about muktzah. The idea, by the way, just to be clarify, mashkin v'shechtin, mashkin was the derech back then was. It's not really related. The mashkin isn't really part of our muktzah shayla, but the idea of mashkin was they used to give the animals water to drink before they shechted it. By giving it water, it helped with the flaying process. Taking off the skin was easier when the animal had some more liquid moisture in its body. Okay, but the point is, we're worried about muktzah there. We're saying the midvaris that weren't mukha to be shechted. Our muktzah sounds like a behuda. Answers, like, Gemara, you're right. That stam mishnah is clear like a behuda. And now that we say this new answer that we're about to say, we can go back and say some of the prior mishnayos also could be, we're stam mishnayos like a behuda. But Rabbi Yechon stamach vinashka. Rabbi Yechon found the stamma that went the other way. Rabbi Yechon found the stamma that went the other way. And this is really where the Gemara Beitza addressed and says that Rebbe taught some Stam Mishnayos like Reb Shimon, and he taught some Stam Mishnayos like Reb Yehuda. The Stam Mishnayos in Shabbos fit like Reb Shimon, whereas the Stam Mishnayos in Beitza fit like Reb Yehuda, because in Shabbos he wants to pass like Reb Shimon, and in Beitza he wants to pass like Reb Yehuda. As really, I alluded to this idea before, that's really what the Gemara says about this, Mamish, on this Gemara's answer. Our Gemara's answer over here to Rabbi Yechonon, where we're saying we find stam mishnas in both directions, the Gemara Beitz asks that very same question. Rebbe is the author of Mishnayos. How could Rebbe have had stam mishnas in both directions? And the Gemara answers, because Shabbos, you go like Reb Shimon, and Beitz, we go like Reb Yehuda. What is the stam mishnah in Shabbos? It goes like Reb Shimon. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechonon, stam achineshkach. We just had this mishnah not so long ago. Beshama, Emir Beshama says that magbiyam al shulchan at some asleep. If you have bones on the table, right? You have bones on the table, you let her remove them by hand. The leftover bones and shells. But still let him know. Misakas habakluminar. But still says you shake off the table and you get rid of the bones. Now, according to this version, Beishamai is not makbuna muktza, and Beisil is makbuna muktza. Vamar Nachman, we had the Gemara says, Anoin Lanu, we only had the opposite approach. Anoin Lanu Ella, that what? Beishamai kebhudor, Beisil kebhshimin. Beishamai is the one who's makbuna muktza, and Beisil is the one who's lenient kebhshimin. We had the Beisil is the one kebhshimin. So Reb Yechonon decided to go like the Stam Mishnah Shabbos, which rules like kebhshimin, that there's no issue of muktzah. The obvious question is, it's not a stam mishnah. Everyone's right, it's a machlekes b'shamei silo. So jump into Rashi. Look at Rashi, Leon, very good. Look at Rashi. Rashi says right away, b'shamei b'makom b'silo, unbelievable power. This is how fight it goes. B'shamei b'makom b'silo lav mishnah to the extent that we call it a stam mishnah. Unbelievable. B'shamei b'makom b'silo lav mishnah to the extent that we call it a stam mishnah. And we're considering this a stam mishnah in order to say that we paskin like Reb Shimon. So that's where Behuda is going with a stam mishnah and Shabbos. Now, just to quickly go over some points that we had way back when it was only about 15 months ago, when we learned this Mishnah of Atzamas and Klipin. So first of all, Taisa Kiver explains that the reason why we stress Atzamas and Klipin, what's the double thing? Atzamas are bones, and Klipin are shells, is because Atzamas are completely covered, they're concealed, they're mechusa, and shells are on the outside. And the Chiddush is, which is trying to say Chiddush, that again, according to our version of the Mishnah, ultimately say Beishamas, the Machmer Beis Hillel is the Mekel. But according to our version, Beis Hillel was the Machmer Beishamas was the Mekel. So he says in Beishamas, that Beishamas was coming to say that in both cases, one may have thought that something which is Mechusa would be more of a reason to be Mechusa, or something which is, it's not just Beishamas, it's either way. One would have thought, the one who says Mechusa says, the Afka by something which is Mechusa, the bones that were Mechusa before Shabbos started, that's Mechusa, but that which is Megula, the shells, that everyone agrees that Mechusa, Kamashma, the Mechlekis is still in both cases. That both by Mechusa and by Megula, the Tesuk Yeager explains, that's the element of shells and bones. Teach me in both cases, each by number, each Tana sticks to his guns, that it is Mechusa in both cases, or that's not Mechusa in both cases. Okay, now very important, Rashi, it's not by us, Rashi over there says that what are Atzamas? Atzamas are these bones that aren't even fit Lachilas Kelev. Now, Pashi says some of the bones that aren't for human consumption, so you have an issue of muktzah. Kamashmon, Rav Shimon is meiklam, Rav Yudah is machmer. But if you got Rashi says it's not even fit for consumption of the dogs, which means it's really fit for nothing. If it's mamish fit for nothing, that's one of the cases we pointed out. That even Rav Shimon agrees that's muktzah. Rav Shimon agrees that concept muktzah. We just said earlier today agrees to muktzah machzor gis. We have other cases we agree to muktzah, something which is fit for zero usage. How could that not be muktzah? Even according to Rav Shimon, that's the chur muktzah. If it's not fit even for a dog, it should be muktzah. What's Rashi saying? A very stark kasha. Taisa says the kasha Rashi. Taisa leaves the shver. The Ritva says the kasha is so stark. If you remember, we pointed out then when we learned the Mishnah. Ritva says the kasha is so stark that we have to say there's a girsa mistake in Rashi. That's how vite the Ritva was bought by his kasha Rashi. But we pointed out the Pnei Yeshua, who was mechavent to Zayda, the Megina Shlema. Megina Shlema's name was Megina Shlema, protecting Rashi, protecting Shlema Yitzchaki. The Pnei Yeshua was mechavent to Zayda, who in the Beitza and answers on behalf of Rashi that we're saying it's mutter for a different reason. Even though the bones are not fit for chilus klavim, it's not muksa because it's graf shel rei. We've spoken on this mesecta a few times. A concept of graf shel rei is something which is utterly disgusting. The rabbanim take away, they relax the issue of the issue of muksa in order to enable the person to clean it up, to move it away. We're talking over here about what would be considered a graf shel rei. These bones are so disgusting, the graf shel rei, and therefore be permissible even if the bones are not fit for consumption of the dog. Now, in a separate question we had back then, just to get some chazer over, we have some time today to short it off. Just to chazer over, we had back early in the Masechta the concept we discussed a few times, Muktzah, of Bustas of Zavar Aser. Right? So Beis Hillel was saying, shake off the table. Ultimately, we switched it and said it's Beishame who says you have to shake off the table because Beis Hillel is the one who does all the Muktzah, and he's the one that's saying you can outright get rid of the bones and the shells. But according to whoever it is that says, shake the table off, what is helping to shake the table? L'chaira, it's Bustas of Zavar Muktzah, and the Bustas becomes Muktzah itself. So what's the pshat? Why there's not a problem with Muktzah? Shaking off the tablecloth should still be an issue. So Taisa Beitza gives a couple of answers. Taisa Beitza gives one answer that Dvarim HaMutarim were probably on this table as well. It's very normal. You have a table of food. There's also Dvarim HaMutarim. So it's a Bustas of Dvar Asa and Dvar Mutter, and a Bustas of Dvar Asa Mutter remains Mutter. The Bustas does not get a status of Muktzah. Taisa's first simple and clear answer. Taisa then brings an answer as well from Beit Tam. And somebody's only a bustus if you plan to leave the item there for the whole Shabbos. You plan to leave it there, I mean, you left it there, and you don't intend to move it until the Shabbos. But something that you purposely was destined to, it was, the whole plan was to always be moving it, this tablecloth, this cloth, the plan was to always move it when you started the meal, after the meal's over, to move it, to clean it up. It doesn't get a status of bustus because there was no intent to leave it there. The idea of bustus, you left it there. We have a discussion earlier about a chiluk between Shecheach and between putting it on purpose, when Shechechon is left there, is forgotten there, it's not considered a buses. So too, taking that same similar concept a step further, and saying that if it wasn't intended to be left there long term, or at least throughout Shabbos, that's also, even though it's not a Shechech, it was put there on purpose, but it's not called a Shechech, because it's like a Shechech in the sense that it wasn't intended to be left there, and therefore it's not a buses. Ritfil, along the same lines as Rebbe Tam, says a little bit different. He says that there's no anacha there, it's even less than a Shechech. When you're eating and the bone just falls out of your hand, then you, because you aim the bone, so you eat the chicken on the bone, or the meat in the bone, and then the bone just drops, and you put it on the plate, or you put it down. It's not considered a hanacha. It's similar to shechech, because you're not putting it there on purpose, you're just not going to hold a bone in your hand, but you're not really putting it there on purpose to rest there, and therefore it's like a shechech, and therefore it's permissible. Similar to Beritam's idea was that you're not planning to leave it there until it's the Shabbos, and the Rift is saying there was no hanacha in the first place when you put it down, but both along the same lines, that it wouldn't be a buses because you don't have a proper hanacha. That would be an answer why these atzamas don't make the tabletop a buses. And even the man who says muktzah, that is allowing to shake it off the table, and that is being that is at least permissible. Okay.
On the top that you said that it's a graf shel rei, So why do you need the whole tavla? Why don't you just pick it up?
Yeah. It's a good era. That's a good era. Kenner was very bothered by chlal that this bones are mamish graf sharei. It's very normal to have at the end of a meal bones. He was bothered by the whole concept of chlal. He was bothered that the bechlal that we consider bones graf sharei. But Pnei Shu says an answer. It's Pnei Shu's teretz. But you're asking very good. You're asking that if it's graf sharei, then one second, is there a lacha about not being touching graf sharei b'yadayim, like by excrement? I think there may be discussion about dafka taking it. I did davracha. There may be such conversation, but that would be. I mean, if that's the case, that'll answer your question. But you're asking why do you have to do it like tiltum and atzad if the rabbanu relax mukts begaf sharei and then very good hour. Okay.
It's interesting that the bishamay would be arguing graf sharei.
I'm sorry.
So it's interesting that the bishamay would arguing on
right. Also, very good point. Very good point. Yeah, Leon's pointing out.
I think we did see that the bishamay was even mapped on graf sharei.
Did we?
And told that kula.
Did
I
we?
I remember we did that.
Okay, because that's what comes out, right? Leon's pointing out very well. If you go like to Pnei Yeshua and Rashi, that the issue heter of here is graf sharei, if that's the heter, then Beishamah who's being machmer is going to be machmer even graf sharei. Yeah, that's a good point.
One other thing, by the way, graf sharei doesn't have to be mamish. We call it graf sharei, but it could just be that it's the end of the meal and bones are sitting there and you have guessed it. That's already graf sharei.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to be mamish.
Yeah. McKenna was not so excited about it. I do remember in the Rav of the shul, and actually I'm actually back in my original stomping grounds, the Rav of the shul up the block over here, the Tanker Rav, the Pitam Chacham, when we had once there was a leak in the shul. And it was like the water coming down was dirty, was rusty, it was going to garbage, mm-hmm. And he allowed to move the pail, the garbage pail, to empty it. And I remember using the words, graf sharei, that'll be considered graf sharei, disgusting water. That'll be called a graf sharei, not a problem to move it on Shabbos. So, you're right. There is an achami. There's a precedent. I mean, it's disgusting.
A dirty plate's not the same basis, also graf sharei.
I don't think so.
I don't think you have to come on to that.
Yeah, I think they're not mukhs to begin with. I don't think you have to come on to that. Okay. Pliki barb achav rabbina mechlekes rach rabbina chanamar b'chol shabbos kula halchab shimon. When mechlekes rach rabbina, one says in kol shabbos kula, it sounds like a very appropriate member to say in the last half of the Masechta, but we'll see some mechlekes how to read this. B'chol shabbos kula halchab shimon. Throughout all the shabbos halchab shimon, levarma mukhs mechlekes mias, except for mukhs mechlekes mias over there, b'shimon's mekel. And we pass like Rehuda L'chumra that there is Muktzah. Umayniyu. What is Muktzah Machas Miyaz? We've had this earlier in Mizach. The Nayashan, a lamp that's old. I mean, really, once was used more than once. It's dirty. Retains that, specifically a lamp made out of like clay, earthenware, which doesn't get clean. That lamp retains its dirtiness. So such a lamp is Muktzah Machas Miyaz. And we go L'chumra like Rehuda. V'chan Amr says, the other one said, Muktzah Machas Miyaz, not Melech B'Shemen. No, even Muktzah Machas Miyaz, we pass like B'Shemen. You know, we don't pass like him. Levar Muktzah Machas Isser. Muktzah Machas Isser, we don't pass like him. What's the classic case of Muktzah Machas Isser? My new, Neshul Dikavah B'Shemen Shabbos. And there that had been lit during Shabbos. While it's lit, everyone agrees you can't move it. It's Usser. You can't move it. You can make up to put it in the fire while it's lit. And therefore, when the fire goes out, we're saying once it was Muktzah on Shabbos, at some point it remains Muktzah on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says not like that. And we're Machmer, we're saying, in this case, we pass like Yehuda, not like B'Shemen, that we say it remains Muktzah Avol. We already touched this before today. That it's going to be mukta, even according to Shimon, the time called Kalim to tell Shabbos, Chus b'meis masar gadol v'yasad shemach reisha. Going to the Mishnah, that all Kalim are not mukta, they're mukta to take on Shabbos, except for the large saw and the yasad shemach reisha. That was the yasad that was used by the plow. These things are people don't use for other purposes because they don't want to get damaged. They protect it. This gets the back of the idea again. These happen to could be also. Are valuable items, but the main purpose point is that people don't use it for other usages. That's the main point of Muktzah Chasar Kis. It's not so much the dollar value, it's that people don't want to use it for other usages because it may come to be damaged. They specifically use it for its own use, and therefore even Rabbi Shimon agrees over there, and they were saying that there was no machlekes in that case. Now, on this Lashon, going back to the Lashon we quoted, B'chol Shabbos Kula Rabbi Shimon, we're saying except for either Muktzah Machas Mias or Muktzah Machmas Isser, but otherwise L'chol Shabbos is Pasuk Rabbi Shimon. We set a general rule, and then we went into qualification specifically by Muktzah. And therefore, that leads to big machlekes the Rishonim. Ramban learned this is a klal in Shabbos. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and this applies to all things. Muktzah, obviously, our topic. Davishem is Gavin. Machashem Sir Gufa. We have machlekes by Makalgel. We have machlekes by I'm not sure if this goes back to Rehuda or Shimon, but by a person who's is Mesasek, right? We have Mechalikas throughout the Mesechta by many different dinim. We have Mechalikas throughout Rav Shimon and Yudim throughout the Mesechta, and this klal is, of course, the board. Halacha is like Rav Shimon. We did seem to say throughout the Mesechta, we had seemed to have a consistent rule that Shmuel passed like Rav Shimon, and Rav didn't, to the extent where we once asked on Rav, doesn't Rav pass like Rav Shimon, like Rav Yehuda, Legabe Shabbos? Seemingly there is some sort of one size fits all, the guy be all the machlekes and the Shabbos. We do seem to have that earlier. We did explain over there that no, it meant that somehow this connects to the other machlekes and Rav passing like a Shimon, like a Yehuda, not like a Shimon, and not that the Rav has to pass like every member of a Yehuda, not like a Shimon, but Shabbos. But the point is, Ramban learns in our Gemara, but Chol Shabbos Kula means across the board, all Dine Shabbos, all the machlekes of Shimon, and typically the Yehuda, on Shabbos, we pass like Rav Shimon. However, the Shulchan Aruch points out, Rambam clearly didn't learn this way, because we know Rambam, we actually treat Malacha, Shein Tzrich Legufa, we treat it Mochamer, and the idea that is because, even though we pass like Rav Shimon, Lekula, that Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Mutter, however, is Patal Vasser. However, Rambam Paskin is Mamish Malacha. Rambam Paskin like Yehuda, that Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is a full-fledged Malacha. Rambam holds Chayef. He holds Chayef. He passes the Chumash Yehuda. And therefore, we're Machmer. We're a little more Machmer in those cases. It's something which we're more Machmer than other scenarios where we pass like Shimon fully 100%. The point is, Rambam was passing like Yehuda over there. Obviously, in Agamar meant within the realm of Mukta. Throughout all the discussions of Mukta, the Masechta, Halachas like Shimon, except for the qualification of either Mukta or Mukhas Machas Isser. But Legabe Mukhas Machas Shemin, not Legabe across the board, and therefore Rambam is able to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Legabe Machas Shemin Gufa, so the Machalik is showing him how encompassing that line of Bechol Shabbos Kula Lachka Kirab Shemin is. Okay, so like the Mishnah.
Just to
stick on that sense school, but why is Rabbi Mukhas Machas Shemin? Zuck the Mishnah. The Fir Nadarm Shabbos, one is allowed to be made for Nadarm Shabbos, the Shalom Nadarm is in Shabbos. One can also ask Adam Darm, Thalat Shabbos Shabbos. The difference between Hafara and Sheila, of course, is Hafara is, let's say, the father is made for his daughter's Nedarim when she's a certain age, or a husband is made for the wife's Nedarim. He just abolishes the Nedar. When he hears it, B'yam Shammai, he hears it, and we're going to actually have a discussion in the daf today. What does B'yam Shammai mean? The day he hears it, does it mean literally 24 hours when he hears it, he can be made for it? Or does it mean the day till Shkia? That'll be a discussion. Then we try to be right for our Mishnah, that discussion. But okay, you can be made for that Nedar. And so also, a person go to Chacham, a regular person, go to Chacham to have his Nedar undone. So we're saying he'll have to undo it. If it's L'Sharach Shabbos, the words of L'Sharach Shabbos were said by Neshalim, and the question is going back on both? Our first Nedar also is Dafkel L'Sharach Shabbos. We even not L'Sharach Shabbos? Or is it the same as Neshalim, as Dafkel L'Sharach Shabbos? We'll see in the Gemara. Now, this is a psak back on the idea of shuttering a window. We had this discussion, Daf Kuch Hafei, we had early Masecht as well, we had to close up a window on Shabbos, or is it an issue of Baina? Rabbanan said you can, Rabbanan says no, unless it's Mamish attached and hanging in the air, so it's clearly just like opening and closing an existing door, then it's permissible. Otherwise, it is a problem. Rabbanan were more lenient and says it doesn't have to be hanging, it's okay to shutter the door, even if it's not hanging up in the air. You can shutter up this hole in the wall, in the window. One might do some atlas, one can measure a rag to see if it carries with the tumma, if it's a shear of tumma, three fingers of tumma. Now, the chiddush over here is that measurements in general on Shabbos were usher because of the dechal. Yet when it comes to halachic measurements for halacha purposes, then Mishnah is saying very clearly it can be lenient, such as a rag that's three fingers by 3 fingers. One might mikvah, one can measure a mikvah to see if it measures the 40 sa, which is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas tall, so 3 cubic ammas, right? 1 amma wide by 1 amma, and 3 ammas height. That's normally the height of a full person. So that's you measuring to make sure it's the size that you could do on Shabbos. Umaisa may avav shabbos tzadik may abish shol. But benis shapakos amar betpiach. There was a story where they stuffed up a window with their earthenware flask. The Mara is going to elaborate more about the story. The Kashara is a Makdeir Begami, and they tied the earthenware kli with a strand of reed grass. They did this all in order to determine whether there's a hole the size of a tefach within this opening within the barrel. All that was negayel lagabi did a tumma. There was, we'll see in the Gemara, there's a tumma. There was a mason between two houses, and you're trying to protect the tumma from going into the house. And they did all these things on Shabbos to protect from tumma and to measure and to see whether it's a shear of tumma or not. We see again that measuring and tying and doing these ideas, which would seemingly be of the chal, are permissible when it comes to halach ramifications, such as Tumma Vitara, the Gemara will elaborate. Ibailu. Back in the first din of the Mishnah, when it says about Afara, is that also, is that not restricted to Tzarech? Because Afara it says Mefir Nadarm, and then it says Neshalim Nadarm Shnei Tzarech. Are the words Shnei Tzarech going only on Neshalim, and when you go to the Rav to ask out an Eder, but Afara could take place whether it is Tzarech or not? Ushela and Shela is the Tzarech in Tzarech Lay. Shela is Dafka Tzarech, but Shela Tzarech, you cannot do Shela. Or, Umshemachi, sorry, and the Mishnah says, Mishemachi, Fuginu, Madadi, and therefore the Mishnah kind of splits them. Mefir Nadarim, Vinishalim, Ladarim, Shein Lazarech, and therefore the Mishnah splits it up because they have two different guidelines. I don't know, it's one big thing. Hafar Namazarech, Inshla Zarech, I read it together that both are really totally, it has to be Dafka for Zarech Shabbos, it can be made for something which is relevant for Shabbos, you can be made for something Shabbos, then you can't be made for a Shabbos. I have a, why did you split up? The Kapal Gilam Adadi, Mishnah Dafar, Inzarech Bezdin, Mishnah Bezdin. The reason we split is because it's two different types of ways of undoing the nether. One is done by the father or by the husband without even a bezdin. The other requires a bezdin, so we split it up, but it has the same guideline, and dafka, something which is relevant to Shabbos, could be done on Shabbos. That's the shayla. Is it even, how far it could be done, even if it's not negiyah to Shabbos, even if the thing you're being made for is not relevant to Shabbos, you still can be made for, and that's why the Mishnah split hafar and shayla, because shayla is only allowed on Shabbos if it's related to Shabbos, or, no, hafar also can only be done if it's related to Shabbos, but it'll split up because hafar is done with the husband / father, whereas Shayla needs best, and therefore split up. Tasha must be right. Papa, he said as follows: Mefir Nedar Shabbos, Letzayrich Shabbos. Pretty black and white. You made for Nedar Shabbos for the need of Shabbos. Letzayrich Shabbos and Shayla Shabbos. Like clear raya. Dafkel Letzayrich Shabbos can be made for. Made for also is restricted to Dafkel Letzayrich Shabbos. Shayla Letzayrich Shabbos one cannot be made for. Okay. Lishna Achmina. The Gemara has a different lushan of the Shayla, but it brings that where the two sides of the equation are more elaborated, and we get involved. We're going to get involved with also the idea of whether we're ultimately going to circle back to the idea that we referenced the Mishnah, which is whether the Afara is Dafka the day, Yom Shammai, the day he heard it, till Shkia, or it means 24 hours from when he heard it, it can go on to the next day. Nafkmin is when a person has a Nedar Shabbos, obviously, if it was to be made for it, because they have to be made for it on Shabbos, because he has no choice, because after Shabbos is too late, or no, he can be made for it only till the same time, the next day, on Sunday, he can be made for it within 24 hours. Let's see. Lushachmina, Ibarilu, the Shalos said as follows. Letzerich atarvayakai. When it says Letzerich is going back on both, Hafara and Sheila, and Shalil Tzerich Lay, and therefore in both cases, if it's not Tzerich Shabbos, you can't be made for, you can't get rid of the nether on Shabbos. Alma, Hafaras Nedarim, Eis Le'eis. Therefore, this must be a riot that first time you have 24 hours. Because if you didn't, it wouldn't make sense to say, oh, it's not Tzerich Shabbos, he can't be made for. He has no choice. Now it's time they heard it on Shabbos. He has to be made for now. It's now or never. And therefore, this would be the fact that we interpret the Mishnah, that it means you cannot be made for, even Hafara cannot be done on Shabbos for a nether. It's not relevant to Shabbos, would indicate that you have 24 hours, he will have time after Shabbos to perform that fara. I don't know. Kitan the Tzerch said, Ashelu Tani. He's only said, Ashelu Tani. He's only said, Lagabi Shela. Aval first and Darm, Athusha Tzerch, first could be done even if it's not Tzerch Shabbos. And the reason would be, what would be the logic of that? Alma first and Darm, Kalyam. Because the first Darm is Kalyam is Dafka that day, meaning till Shkia. And therefore, once Shabbos comes, we won't be made for anymore. It'll be too late. And therefore, we now have to be made for the Nether, even though it's not relevant to Shabbos. That is the Gemara Shela. So it's the similar shot to before, whether when the Mishnah says Tzerch, it's going in Dafka and Shela, even but we're bringing in a little more color, a new element that we're making it mitli tully in the shiloh whether Afara has 24 hours only till Shkia. So we have a raya according to this, again, the same author according to this version as well. As Rav Zutti Beir Papi said, Mefir Nedarim b'Shabbos l'tzeirich Shabbos. He says that you're allowed to be made for Nedarim on Shabbos l'tzeirich Shabbos. Again, the Afara is Dafka l'tzeirich Shabbos. Make the deal l'tzeirich Shabbos in, l'tzeirich Shabbos l'ay. So this is the this that we quote from this Ziri, Rav Zuti, the Bey Rav Papi, is the same quote that you only let be made for Nedarim on Shabbos, L'Tzerich Shabbos. But if it's not L'Tzerich Shabbos, you can't. Must be that Amma first Nedarim is Meis Leis. The fact that it cannot be made for a Neder on Shabbos, L'Tzerich Shabbos, indicates that I do have time after Shabbos to be made for it, and we see that first Nedarim goes Meis Leis. Amma Vashi, Vonat Tanan, a first Nedarim Kol Yom. We learned the first Nedarim is Kol Yom. V'yesh B'dar V'l'Hal Kol Achmer. We say a first Nedarim is the entire day, and that could be a Kul L'Chimer. How so? What do you mean Kul L'Chimer? Kul L'Chimer in terms of timing, how long he has to be made for the Neder. Ketzad, another little Shabbos, the Neder was made on Friday night. You have the whole day. The whole day means till Matzah Shabbos, not 24 hours, but you have till Matzah Shabbos till the end of that day, till Matzah Shabbos. Mefer Leil Shabbos, V'yayim HaShabbos, Ad Shtech Shech. You have the night of Shabbos, you have the day of Shabbos, till it gets dark. However, the Chumra is Nadim Cheshech, which makes the Nether Shal Shud this time. Mefer Ad Shtech Shech, you can only be made for the Nether till it gets dark. Shemle Hafer Mechshech, Mechshech, Ein Yach Lafer. If you didn't more made for it till it gets dark, it's too late. Again, we have this memory of over here, Ravashi bringing a Mishnah, seems to say clearly, at first, Norm is Dafka, that day, Kolayim means that day, Tzol Shkia, you don't have Meis Leis. Answers the Gemara, you're right, Tanayim, Tanayim, first time Kolayim, we learn learned in a Mishnah and a Brisa. Her first norm is Kol Hayayim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Shimon, Amru, Meis Leis. So it's a Bagma Machlekes, and therefore, you can't be Miraya that you have a Mishnah, even if we're teaching in our Mishnah, that the Tzarech means both Sheila and Afara. And we're saying that the Afara has to be done. The furrah cannot be done if it's Tzarech Shabbos, which means the Amish shows the furrah has meisleis, and Ravashi has a bright Mishnah elsewhere that says a furrah has to be before Shki, it's meisleis. It's a machlekes tanaim, it's a machlekes tanakama versus Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, that they all say you have meisleis, but tanakama says you don't have meisleis, and therefore our Mishnah that says meisleis could fit like these three tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah that we're interpreting it to mean, that means meisleis is mutter, goes like these three tanaim. Okay, we said.
Just one point. Nadrim Hashecha means that she made the Nadrim Hashecha. That's when he heard about it. Because it always goes by when he heard about it.
But that's correct. But the little teich is what the way we teached it. The teich is that the assumption in this case is that he's hearing it.
Right,
he's hearing it right away. Correct. Yeah. The teich is clearly she made it im chashecha. But you're right. Yeah, the case is we're assuming he's hearing it right away. So the Gemara, the neshalim nedarim, we said that he can get released from nedarim ibaylu kishleile panai edem afile panai. Again, another shaila gav nedarim. This only me didn't have enough time before Shabbos to go to the bezdin. That's or the chacham. That's means. Let it go, even when he had enough time, and he didn't. Lamaise, he can go on Shabbos. Hashema, Dalski, the Rabban, the Rav Zutra, Braid Rav Zera, the Rabban got involved, the Zutra, son of Zera, for surely Lilibin, the Matas, Nadav, Afagav, Tavleb, tonight. Even though he had time for Shabbos, Lamaise, now Shabbos was bothering him, and they dealt with that on Shabbos, so we see, you allowed to deal with that. Somebody who's just the Tzarek Shabbos on Shabbos, even if there had been time, they don't say it's like a Knas, there was time before Shabbos, should have dealt with it before Shabbos. No, even if there was time, they still deal with that Shabbos if it's related to Shabbos. Shapaku Asamar. So we said in the Mishnah that they stuffed up the shutter, but to be the Kashmak Dera, Begami, the end of the Mishnah, we quoted that they kind of did all these things listed in the Mishnah. They made measurements, they measured Sifas Tefach, they stuffed up the window. What's going on over here? Amar Vidim Rav, here's the story. There was a small alleyway between two houses, basically, two houses, and there was an alleyway between the houses. For Tumay Sashem, there was a mace in the alleyway, top of Kuf Nun Zayin Amabay, it's very short. Amid. The Gigas Stukum Menachas Agabam, and there's a cracked barrel resting on top of the in between, like the two houses, in between the roofs, over being an oil, being mile over the maze. What would that do? That causes the maze to be all within this oil. Everything with this oil is tummy. Not only that, if the windows are open, it creates that tumma is going to travel into the houses as well. So it's a problem. So what was the first step? First, before the person died, this person was about to die. The person wasn't dead yet. So obviously, if it was dead yet, it'd be too late. Before the person died, the person was a geist, was about to die. They quickly shuttered the window in order with a flask, in order to make sure that when the person dies, the tumma wouldn't go into the house. You close off the entry point into the house to make sure the tumma will not travel to the house. Because Shar was the makeda begummy. They then tied an earthenware kli, which was the size of a tefach with some reed grass, in order to pass it through the crack in the barrel. Why? We're saying this barrel that was on top, that was serving as the roof, had a crack in it. And the very, very important distinction, if the barrels are cracking the size of a tefach, and the tumma just escapes, the tumma doesn't stay there, right? Lay them in Yesham, Begigas, Pesach, Tefach, Amav, to determine whether that there was a opening of a tefach that would allow the tumma to escape or not, or the tumma would spread throughout the whole area. If it's an opening of a tefach, the tumma just escapes through the opening, and it wouldn't spread tumma throughout the whole area. So they did all these things. And from the words we learn that you can do all these things. You can shudder, you can measure, you can tie. Since all these things were related to halacha, even though we'd call the nomi of the chol, since they related to halachic tumma, therefore they allowed it on Shabbos. Interesting story. We're going to read till the last words, the Masechta. We're not going to read the last words. We'll tie it outside. We're not going to read it inside, just for those that want to save it for a siyum. Ula ikla be Reish Glusa. Ula came to the house of Reish Glusa, and he found Chasa Rabbi Rav Huna. He found Rabbi Rav Huna, the Yosef of Avna, the Mayav of Kamashale. He was sitting in a bath of water, and he was measuring to see if it was a shear, and measuring to see if it was a proper shear. Amalei, Amadab Rabbanim, and he did a mitzvah. A mikvah that you can measure to see if it's a shear. Stam, when you're in a bathtub to make a measurement, see if it's a proper shear. La mitzvah yamma, did they say that? So before we read we're not going to read the last time, we'll speak outside. His answer was that I'm just kind of spacing out. I'm doing it, I'm killing time, I'm not measuring it, I'm not really measuring it. Ben Yad explains that is because a person of his stature, what would he do if he's not thinking of anything else? He thinks of learning. You're not allowed to think of learning in the merchats, in the bathtub, and therefore he purposely was just measuring, doing dvar shel mabakach. He's just measuring, but not for real measuring purposes. He wasn't really doing proper measurements, and therefore it wasn't a problem on Shabbos. So Josh asked me when he learned this Gemara earlier, and he asked me, he says, "Bachar, we had throughout the Masechta going into a bathtub's a problem. All of a sudden, we're ending the Masechta with an amira. Right? We're focused on the measuring component." He was in a bathtub. He saw Yosef Avna Demaya. He was sitting in a tub of water. Imagine, what on earth is he sitting in a tub of water on Shabbos? So it's a very kedai to chazor very quickly, the ideas of bathing on Shabbos, we have really two separate gezeiros. One gezeiro is going into a body of water, going into a large body of water, where a person may come to fashion a raft. That's a gezeiro, you may come to fashion a raft, a flotation device. That is one gezeiro. One's not going into a large body of water, you may come to fashion a raft. And that gezeiro, we said, to the chazor does not apply, obviously, to a bathtub. The chazor wouldn't even apply to a small mikvah, and it wouldn't even apply to a small, probably not even to a small swimming pool. People don't make, people use floaties, these tubes, but people don't make rafts for small swimming tubes, for small swimming pools, and therefore that gezeira l'chor wouldn't apply to the smaller bodies of water. That's one gezeira of not going to a large body of water like a lake, a big body of water, because you make up to fashion a raft. That is one gezeira. There was a separate gezeira we had in the Mems about going into bodies of hot bodies of water. And that was gezeira, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. They said, because people were being lax, and they were relying on the goyim, even if it was goyim heating the water on Shabbos, and sometimes even yidden were doing it, chalila, they were heating water on Shabbos for bathing purposes. And therefore, there was a gezeira, one cannot go into hot water on Shabbos, a hot water bath on Shabbos, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. That's a separate gezeira. So for two separate gezeiras. One is any large body of water you make up to fashion a raft. The second is going to a hot body of water, because you may come to heat water on Shabbos, even if this water was heated from before Shabbos, I can't go into Shabbos, because I may come to water on Shabbos. That is only a gzeira on hot water. To go into a cold bath, cold water, lameka, especially now in the summertime, in the heat, to cool off, that technically is permissible. That was never part of the gzeira. The reason why we think in our minds that's a problem is we know people don't do it. People don't go into cold baths on Shabbos either. And the reason is because the Magen Avraham already brings the Nisei Kelim at the Aracharenim and bring that the Velt took on, the Minig Yisrael was to be machmer, not to go into cold bodies of water either. Even small, you know, issue of raft. And it's cold, no issue of heating, and there's no gezeira. Even that, they took a chumrah on themselves not to even immerse one's full body, even cold bodies of water. That's already brought by the Magen Avraham and other Eskelim. That's why in our minds, all bathing is prohibitive, because it was taken on that's taken on Haga, that we don't go into any bodies of water. But the gezeira and the gemaras were, again, those two cases. Dafka, hot bodies of water, small, or even not hot, when they're large, that's when there's issues. But if you know this case over here with Rabbi Bar Huna, was long before the gezeira at the Velt took on even cold bodies of water. So he could be talking about very simple. We could be talking about a cold body of water, and therefore he was in the tub on Shabbos. Again, we're not going to officially make the say the Hadron for those that want to see it to see him. But for those that read the words inside, the last five words, Mazel Tov, big accomplishment. We basically finished this entire Masechta on Zoom. We're going to start Erev Rebbe Hashem tomorrow on Zoom as well, and hopefully in the near future we'll be back in Shul all together in the Sheer Bekarv.